This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Doctors Robert Coles and Gary Weaver set up this image about maybe 25, 30 years ago of an iceberg as the model for culture, that we have the visible and the invisible parts. And so the visible are the things that you see, the language, the traditions, things like that. And then they're what expresses the invisible. In other words, if I have a certain belief of modesty, it'll come out in how I wear my clothes. If I have a belief about what foods are holy or not holy, it'll come out in what I eat. So traditionally, it expresses it, but we also look at it and we make assumptions about the deeper layers. And this person said, well, where does personhood come in terms of culture? I thought, well, that's a good question, because I hadn't thought about that before. So at the moment, I said, well, maybe it's pre-culture, because the moment we're born in this image of godness. And so I started using it and putting it under the iceberg, putting it under there. So after I did that, I also was starting to do some things on diversity training. The bottom line is I began to realize somewhere when I was working this other area, all of the diversity training mostly in the States is being done in the superficial area of culture. It's being done on race, gender, nationality, and even if it's being done on sexual orientation, by the time it's in your diversity program, it's visible. Because it's been declared, and this is who I am. And so we're fixing the look, and we're thinking we're fixing diversity or acceptance, but actually the lower levels still aren't being addressed the way people think. And so that, you know, is a place we're still having a lot of conflict. So anyway, when I was thinking about that, and I was talking to my friend about how we do diversity in the upper levels and never come here. And she looked at the iceberg. She said, well, Ruth, the problem with your iceberg, the way it is, you still have to go through all the difference to get to sameness. If you flip it and put sameness first, then you can relate on all the other levels. And that actually transformed not only a lot of what I do with there, but I began to see this is what scripture is actually about. For any third culture kid, for any person in the whole wide world, if we start with the place that we're made in the image of God, then we start to realize I'm not estranged from other people, even if my experiences were very different. Mm-hmm. Underneath that other person I'm meeting right now is a person who has these same things. And I think what we start to see from not only that I was made in his image, then you start to think, what are my human needs?
Let me ask this then. Okay, I guess the way that I would put it is, it sounds somewhat the same as me being able to spend time with my family and my parents in their home in Indiana, but the next day I could go to visit with my wife's family and sit on the floor and be in more or less a Southeast Asian culture, and it doesn't feel jarring to me because exactly. I've taken the time, in this case, I've taken the time to get to know them. I see her aunt as who she is. And not how different she is. There's connections there rather than thinking, wow, you know, she's Southeast Asian. How can I connect? Well, you know, there are things that are very much the same. And so when we go as Christians to work in another place, we should be looking for how do we connect on the same level.
That's exactly it. That's maybe the shift. When people go cross culturally, if they've come from training, which talks about the differences, they can go so scared they're going to make a mistake.
That they will make a mistake.
They'll make a mistake. And they're so tied up inside, they don't know how to connect. If we see with, I believe, the eyes of Christ, who is this person in front of me? Very different culture. But this person sitting in front of me wants to have a relationship. Yeah. And culture is our shorthand for how we establish relationship, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not that we're so different. It's one culture, you do it, you shake hands. Mm-hmm. Another, you bow. But behind that is the sameness, mm-hmm. that somebody wants to be connected. There's different ways we express emotion. but everybody has it. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of our training on cross-cultural stuff is about figuring out how to do it right. And that's important in the sense that we can send the wrong messages by how we do it. And certainly you want to do all you can. But if we start to look at people, we also start to understand why scripture transcends time and culture, mm-hmm. why it transcends race and all the ethnicities. Why is it I've never lived in a tent like Abraham did? Mm-hmm. I've never wandered through the desert. Why can I read his story?
Yeah.
Because there's a sameness there of somebody who wants to follow God, but probably doesn't want to leave his family because mm-hmm. there's relations. So I realize, you know, he had to take a big step.
Yeah.
There's a man who'd like to know the answers, like I would. And faith says you keep following it. I mean, the stories of Scripture come alive, not because of sameness in our environment, but because of that place. The image of God is there that transcends time, culture, and everything else. So I think when we start to think about a global world, I hope Christians are going to become leaders in looking at each other, looking at people, and seeing that image of godness, which lets us carry Christ to other people in a way that we can be blocked, I think, by others. Also, if we think about working on a team with somebody from another culture, again, we can really get hung up, as I've seen people try to sort things out,
yeah.
with what are all the differences. Mm-hmm. But when we start with differences, we stay in alienation. If we look at sameness first, that person wants respect. I want respect. Somehow in this situation, one of us didn't feel respected. Okay, then we don't have to defend exactly what we do. We can move on a little bit and say, well, how does respect look to you? How did it seem to you I didn't respect you because I wanted to? And, you know, we move to the place of how does it look and how do we do? But when we start with the assumption that we are both made in the image of God with the same need for relationship, the same need for respect, the same need that what I do has significance in this world.
Yeah.
That you also trust me to think. I can think even if I have a different background and skin color. And then we move to a whole nother place in our relationships. This also worked out. People say to me, well, how does sameness help you work out teams? There's a school in The Hague, American School of The Hague, that was trying to start a transition program. So they decided, they started with the idea that every single person in their school was in transition. Because whether you're the teacher, whether you're the parent, whether you're the staff, whether you're the student, in an international community, 40% of their people changed every year. So everybody's impacted by some kind of mobility. So it wasn't a pathology, because when you have transition, you have normal interactions that happen. And so they decided to put a team together. How can we help each other and how can we work with this? And they realized that most of their team members were actually Americans because it was American School of The Hague and that was their basis. So they decided to intentionally invite people from a lot of the different kind of groups that they had in different countries and so forth, nationalities, and have a day-long retreat. And all they wanted to talk about was how do you do transition mm-hmm. in your culture, in your people?
Right.
And so they started with sameness, which was we're all in transition. Then they talked about the difference of how we do it, but they were still all on the same thing. And as they began to find out, some groups don't go to counselors, some groups it maybe comes out physically. There's different ways that it's okay. They got to know each other mm-hmm. as people. Mm-hmm. They realized they were all experiencing the same thing, expressing it differently. Then when they have their international days, it's fun.
Right.
Because nobody's afraid of each other.
Yeah.
Because they're not seeing the difference. They're just seeing the expression of my friend, which is what you're talking about when you go to your sister-in-laws or your mother-in-laws.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I would love to see those who work internationally and are already doing this intuitively start to understand how biblical it is to actually see people in the image of God with these needs, and maybe we could start to be God's salt and light in a world that is fractionating because we're looking at difference instead of sameness. And instead of sameness, I actually like the word likeness, because I think intercultural people say, wait a minute, we're not the same. There's all these differences. But the likeness of God, we're made in his likeness.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.